Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
John chapter 20, and we'll get there in just a moment, because today we are celebrating the most world-changing day in history. This is not the birth of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. This is not celebrating merely the death of Jesus that we celebrated on Good Friday, but today is Resurrection Sunday, the day we remember and celebrate his historic resurrection. And this is such a powerful time to be in church. I'm so glad you're here. And this is really the reason we have hope as believers. This is the crux and the reason that Christianity is not just good advice, but it's good news. Amen? Somebody say good news. The title of this sermon today is going to be centered around this one question. Why the gospel is such good news? Why the gospel is such good news? And before we start, why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are revealing yourself tonight. Jesus, we pray that as we open the word, you'd speak to us. We pray that as we talk about you and as we've sung about you, Lord, that this reality would not just pass us by. It would not just go in one ear and out the other, but we pray, Lord, that we would come to a fresh revelation of how great it is that you lived and you died and you rose again. And I pray you'd show us the power that is present, your resurrection power that is present for us to encounter today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The word gospel literally means good news. And it's called good news because it's not just inspirational, it's not just symbolic, but it's real news. It's a proclamation of something good that has happened. It's called good news because it speaks of the deepest problem that humanity has ever had, and it provides the only true solution. Today, we're going to look at three reasons why the gospel is good news. Three reasons why the gospel is good news. And we're going to start in John chapter 20, verse 1. We're going to actually read the entire chapter of John tonight. It's going to be really special. We'll break it up into three chunks of scripture, starting in verse 1. Let's read together. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved." This is John writing about himself. It's very funny that he writes this so much. He emphasizes it multiple times in this passage. You're gonna see it. Him talking about the disciple that Jesus loved. And she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out to the other disciples, and they were going towards the tomb. They ran there, and both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter. He's speaking of himself. It's fascinating. "And reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. But he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, because he was the fastest and the most humble, also went in. And he saw and believed." He saw the empty tomb and he believed. "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." Then the disciples went back to their homes. The first point I want to make tonight is that the gospel is good news because Jesus is alive. That the gospel is good news because the tomb is empty. This is where Christianity begins. Not with a good idea, not with philosophy, not with a moral code. It begins with an empty tomb. We would not have Christianity without an empty tomb. Christianity is not built on good advice from a dead teacher, but on the resurrection of a living Savior. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is not just a story. This was a real day in history. This was a real death. This was a really empty grave. And Mary comes to the tomb. She comes running in expecting to see death. Peter and John come running over in confusion. They see the grave closed. They see the stones being moved out of the way. They see that Jesus is not there. And in this moment, everything changes and things start to click into place. They start connecting the dots. Their whole world is about to change because the tomb is empty. The gospel is good news because Jesus is alive. If Jesus stayed in the grave, then if he stayed dead, then maybe we could recognize him and remember him as a good teacher. If Jesus stayed in the grave, then maybe we could respect him as a moral example. Maybe we could remember him as a martyr who died for their faith. But if Jesus rose from the dead, then he is far more than a teacher. If Jesus rose from the dead, he's far more than a prophet. If he rose, then death has been defeated. If he rose, then sin has been conquered. If he rose, then hope is stronger than despair and light is stronger than darkness. If Jesus rose, then the grave does not have the final word, but he does. If Jesus stayed dead, sure, we could honor him as a good person. But the fact that the tomb is empty and no one could find his body laying dead somewhere else begs us to respond with a fresh revelation that maybe he is who he said he is. Maybe he's not a liar. Maybe he's not a crazy man or just a miracle worker. But if he's truly risen, then he must be who he said he would be because he rose to life like he said he would. This is why Easter matters. The resurrection is not a nice ending to a sad story. It is the victory of God breaking into history. This is what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. And one of the things I love about this story is that the disciples weren't standing outside the tomb of Jesus saying, "Oh, of course we knew this would happen. Oh, yes, he's risen." They were actually shocked. They came running with grief, with sadness, because they saw their Messiah only a few days ago hanging on a cross and bleeding out. They didn't come with excitement. They come with a sense of shock and grief and confusion. They were confused. They were trying to process everything that they were seeing. And I love this because it shows that this is not some made-up legend. These were real emotions, real reactions that people were experiencing. These were the first eyewitnesses that he has risen. This is a sign and a wonder for the people who have followed Christ all this time. They've heard him speak. They've heard him talk about dying and they didn't really believe him because they saw how powerful he was. But now that they saw him die and the tomb is empty, something is starting to click into place for them, but they still don't realize it yet. But the resurrection of Jesus is the great wonder for us today. It's the great excitement for us today because we look back in hindsight. We look back with this revelation. We know how the story ends. We can see that it's through the resurrection that broken people become bold, that weak people, weak disciples become the greatest witnesses that spread his word across the world. We see that there are people that were in hiding and stuck inside of their homes, scared of persecution. These people in hiding became heralds of this good news. The resurrection is powerful. The gospel is good news. Why? Because he is alive. He is alive. And if Jesus walked out of that grave today, then your life is not too far from the reach of his power. The gospel is good news because the tomb is empty. I want us to read on. We're going to read from verse 11, John chapter 20, verse 11. Let's see what happens next in the story. It says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain. And one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord and I don't know where they have laid him." She thought maybe someone had stolen his body or maybe moved him. And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. She meets him at this tomb. She sees that he is risen. She's standing outside the tomb, weeping, overwhelmed and grieving. But then she has this encounter with Christ where she hears him speak one word and she falls into his arms. He says, "Mary, Mary." Could you imagine the risen Savior calling your name? Could you imagine standing outside of this tomb, your master, your teacher, your savior, the one who's transformed your life? You saw him die, buried in a tomb. His body's not there, but then he appears beside you and he calls your name. He calls your name. For Mary, this wasn't just a historic moment. This was personal. And I love this because Jesus is a personal God. He's not abstract, he's not distant, he's not just a stale-faced religious figure that we see in pictures, but he is emotional, he is connected, he is real, he's more like you than you realize, and you're more like him than you realize. We're created in his image. And Jesus is so personal, calling on the name of Mary, and part of this good news is that Jesus still calls our names today. And he still calls people home to him today. Point number two is the gospel is good news because his power still saves. His power still saves. He is the living Christ who still reveals himself, who still meets people and still calls people by name. Maybe you're here tonight and he's called you by name. You've encountered his loving presence calling you home into his arms, into a relationship with him. But maybe you've never experienced God calling you by name, but maybe he'll call you by name tonight. Maybe you can sense his spirit, his presence reaching out to you. The gospel is good news because the power of the resurrection is not locked in the past. It's not trapped inside of a tomb. His power still saves. Not just then, but also now. Not just for them, not just for those people, but also for you and for me and for your family and for your friends and for your work colleagues. His power still saves. I remember when I was 17 years old, lost and broken, addicted to sin, and my life was riddled with fear. I had no purpose. I was hopeless. But Jesus reached out and he called my name. I didn't hear him call my name with an audible voice like you hear me speaking, but his presence started to reveal himself to me. And I found myself walking into a church one day and someone prayed for me and the presence of God touched my heart. And I knew that this presence that I was feeling was not a dead savior. It was not a God who's just up in heaven, but it was a God who was in the room revealing himself to me then and there and in that moment. Can I tell you, the gospel is good news because God still saves. The gospel is good news because Jesus is still moving. His spirit is still moving. He's still transforming lives today. I have made friends with people who were once drug addicts, but now are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they've become powerful men and women of God. I've met people that were once prostitutes, but now are used as mighty prayer warriors, and they share the gospel with one another. They share with their friends and their family, and they've seen other people's lives transformed. The gospel is good news because Jesus still saves. This is not just a moment where we come to church once every now and then and we remember God so that we tick the box and get into heaven. This gospel works. The gospel is still speaking. The God who died on a cross is risen and he's still moving throughout the world today. He's still saving. He's still saving. This is why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:16, he says, I am unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? Not merely information, not merely inspiration, but power to save. Power to save. Can I tell you, friends, no matter how much sin you found yourself in, no matter what you've done wrong, no matter how broken your world is or your past is, Jesus has the power to save. I've been shocked to meet some people with very, very messy pasts, with very broken lives that would surprise the best of us. And I've seen them beautifully weep as the gentle presence of God fills their hearts, heals their soul, and gives them a new life. His power still saves. And as believers, we ought to be unashamed of this message. We ought to be unashamed that we came to church on Sunday and we worship Jesus. We ought to be unashamed that even the gospel might sound like foolishness to a world who is perishing, but we have experienced its power, that he is no longer dead, he is alive. This is the power of God unto salvation. Sin separated us from God. Sin corrupts the human heart. Sin distorts our identity of who we were made to be. Sin brings guilt and shame and bondage. And the Bible teaches us that ultimately it is sin that leads to death. Romans says the wages of sin is death. And no amount of self-improvement can change that. No amount of self-help books can change that. Dare I say that even reading your Bible as many times as you can't change the fact that sin is leading you to death. No matter how many times you visit church, church cannot save you. No, if you could explore the world's religions and the world's religions cannot save you. But if you meet Jesus Christ, he can truly save you. A good sermon's not going to save you. A good worship song's not going to save you. A prayer from your mum or your dad or your grandmother cannot save you. But Jesus can surely save you. He is alive. He is moving. He is responding to prayers. He is responding to those who call upon his name. And we have seen it testified with 14 people standing here on this stage saying something has changed in my life when I met Jesus. The gospel is good news because he still saves. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is good news. This is the reality. The reality of Jesus Christ is that because he has risen, he can raise us up with him. That through the waters of baptism, like you saw tonight, what was taking place is people being united with Christ through the waters of baptism, that their sin would be buried in the grave like he was, and that they would raise to life as a new creation just as he rose from the grave. With power over sin and death, with a hope for eternity, knowing that their life and their future is anchored and secured in him. Jesus didn't come just to make bad people a little better. He came to make dead people come to life. And the reality is that all of us without Christ would be dead in our sin. But Jesus came to bring life and life abundant. He came to raise us up out of that pit and write our names written in the Lamb's book of life, to be seated in heavenly places with Christ, to be washed clean, not to just cover up your sin and hide it, but to cleanse it with his blood and remove the stain completely out of your heart, making you as righteous as he is righteous, as holy as he is holy, and fill you with the power of his Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead would live inside of us. This is the type of new creation he's called us to be. It's not a gospel to be ashamed of. It's a gospel to be proud of. It's not a gospel to hide under a basket. It's a gospel to stand up like a city set on a hill and say, He is risen. And He is still saving today. Amen? Let's continue. I'm going to jump through to verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 24. This is right after Jesus started revealing Himself to the disciples as alive. In verse 24, it says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12 disciples called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came." He missed out on seeing Jesus revealing Himself to the disciples. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in His hands the mark of the nails, and I place my finger into the mark of the nails, and I place my hand into His side, I will never believe." Thomas saw the horrific death that Jesus went through, and he's struggling with doubt. He's saying, "Unless I see it for myself, the nails in His hands, I will not believe. Unless I can touch Him, I don't want to believe that He's just a ghost, or you just saw a spirit or a ghost or something. I want to know that if this is truly my Savior, I want to see Him in bodily form risen from the dead. I'm struggling to believe, but if I saw it, I'd believe." And in verse 26, it says, 8 days later, His disciples were inside a house again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came. Somehow, miraculously, he passed through the walls, yet still in bodily form. And He stood among them, and He said, "Peace be with you." I guarantee they would have got a shock. He's saying, "Peace be with you," because they probably would have freaked out. Then He says to Thomas, this is a beautiful moment, verse 27. Then He says to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do you not believe? Believe." Thomas answered Him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" And then there's this message of hope for us today. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet still believe. My third point tonight is the gospel is good news because you can receive Him and find new life. Thomas is an important person in this Easter story because Thomas was not the most faith-filled disciple, but he struggled really badly with doubt. He was riddled with grief and doubt that Christ would truly rise from the grave. And I think he's an important person in this Easter story because maybe many of us can relate to him. Maybe you're in the room tonight and you've been following Jesus for some time, but sometimes you doubt. Maybe you're new to faith, or maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus, but you find yourself in the room tonight. You're curious about Jesus. You want to know Him like others know Him. You want to have a confidence that He's a personal God, that you could walk with Him for the rest of your life, but you struggle with doubt. It's good news, this story, because Jesus doesn't humiliate Thomas in his doubt. He actually comes to him through it. He reveals Himself to him even in the midst of his doubt. Can I tell you, your doubt doesn't scare God. Oh, God loves faith. He loves a desperate and hungry heart, but your doubt does not scare Him. He can speak to you through it. He revealed Himself to Thomas in the midst of his doubt. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you're wanting to know Him. Maybe you find yourself like Thomas and you're going through some things right now and you're wrestling with some things right now and you're like, "Man, if I could just get a sign, I would believe." Can I tell you, hang in there a little longer. Keep pursuing a little more. The Bible says if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. That was me for a long time. I just kept leaning in. I kept showing up to church. I kept reaching out in prayer. I kept calling upon the name of Jesus until one day I encountered Him more and more and more, a little bit more each day, one step closer to Him. And He was pouring out His love on me. If you're here tonight and you have doubt, you're not too far from the hand of God. And when Thomas sees the risen Christ, he says one of the most powerful confessions in all the Bible. He says, "My Lord and my God." You know, that is the true destination of Easter. that we wouldn't just remember a story that's passed, but that we would truly have this revelation that because he is risen, he is my Lord and my God. See, this gospel, this Easter story, it demands a response. It demands a response. Each of the disciples had their own reaction, their own response. And tonight we declare and we remember, we proclaim this story each year around Easter time. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his life, salvation found in his name. This story demands a response. And the most appropriate, the most accurate, the most compelling response you could give is to hear about Jesus, to hear these scriptures and read them, and for your heart to be drawn towards this beautiful man, this powerful man, this strong man, the only man strong enough to carry the heaviest weight of the sins of the world upon his shoulders, to hear about him, and to declare the most appropriate response, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And the chapter ends with this powerful capstone of faith. John tells us why he wrote this gospel in the first place. In verse 30, it says this: Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, because these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You know, it also says that there wouldn't be enough libraries in the world to contain the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the love, the kindness, the compassion, the service. There wouldn't be enough libraries in the world to fully describe all that Jesus did when he was with them. But John writes this much so that, he says this, so that you may believe. Who's you? It's you and I. 2,000 years later, he wrote this down. Thank God he wrote this down. So that you and I could be sitting here today in Richmond, Melbourne, and believe that he is the Son of God. And by believing that you may have life in his name. The gospel is good news because you can receive him. You can receive him and you can have new life. You can have freedom from sin. I don't care what your thoughts tell you. I don't care what the enemy whispers to you. I don't care what you've heard online. You can be free from sin because Christ nailed it to the cross. He crushed it and he buried it. And he rose again in victorious life. You can't be free from sin on your own. But through the resurrection power of Christ, you can be completely set free. Your past can be done away with and you can receive a new life in his name. The gospel is good news because the tomb is empty and he is alive. It's good news because his power is still saving today. And it's good news because Jesus wants to meet with you personally. He wants to have a personal relationship with you and I. Not just a religious relationship, but a deep and personal relationship. I want to walk with Jesus like the disciples walked with him. And today you can, because his Holy Spirit is here in the room today.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.